I've started the recording.
Okay, we are started and we're at 1 o'clock, Mr. Chairman. I believe you have a quorum, so we can get started.
Okay, Shay, would you go ahead and do a roll call for us, please?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Michael Dobb. Deggie.
Yes.
Thank you. Brian Kirkland. Eddie Cook.
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Jeffrey Blentham. I don't want to pronounce it wrong, excuse me.
I'm here.
Thank you so much, sir. And welcome. Gilbert Aranta.
I'm here.
Thank you. David Byers.
Here.
Thank you. Tim Romer.
Good afternoon, Shay. I'm here.
Thank you. Lev Gornick.
Lev Gornick here.
Thank you, sir. J.R. Sloan.
I am here.
Thank you, sir. Senator Rick Gray. Richard Stabnick.
Rebecca Pereira sitting for Richard Stabnick.
Thank you. And one of our new committee members, he said he was not going to be here. Representative Nugent. Okay. Mr. Chairman, we do have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Shay. And while Representative Nguyen is not here, I do want to take a moment to welcome and acknowledge Jeffrey Freedom, who's the director for the Registrar of Contractors, who has joined our committee and will be a voting member going forward. So, Jeffrey, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be part of this and looking forward to it.
Looking forward to having you as part of the committee here. I will remind everybody that this is a public meeting. We do follow public meeting law. And so we have put a link for public comments in the agenda. If you're a member of the public and wish to submit a comment, please use that submission form and the team will review and disposition those. Without any further ado, we'll go ahead and step into our regular agenda. We'll start with the approval of the recording from the February 17th meeting as the official minutes of that meeting. Anyone have any comments on that or otherwise I'll take a motion.
So moved, Lev Gornick.
Thank you, Lev. Do we have a second?
I second, this is Jeggie.
Thank you, Jeggie. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you very much. We will now move to our consent agenda. We have one item on consent, and that is an update on the project from the Secretary of State, which is a change request, which is moving the end date. I think as we've seen previously, the major content has all been delivered. There was some documentation that was outstanding from the vendor, and that's the last piece that my understanding is outstanding. So I personally am not terribly concerned, although I think if this goes another month, I want to say, why is this taking so long? So if there aren't any desire to discuss the consent item, we'll take a motion with regards to that consent agenda.
Move to approve.
Thank you, Eddie. Do you have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, staff's taking note. If we do see further extension on the project, we will make sure it returns for an in-person update.
Thank you very much. All right, first item up on the agenda is the Department of Economic Security. So I'll turn it over to Sudi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Sudhi Syed. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here by members of the Department of Economic Security project team. I will let the individuals introduce themselves, after which I will give a brief overview of this change request.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Mark Darmer. I'm the Chief Information Officer for the Department of Economic Security. Thank you for taking the time today to hear our change request.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Alan Platt. I am the End User Shared Services Administrator for Department of Economic Security, Division of Technology Services, and I will be the presenter for this change request today.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, on January 20th, 2021, the DTS IT equipment pitch was approved with conditions by ITAC committee. The goal of this project is to refresh hardware that is reaching end of life and to purchase additional equipment. There have been unexpected increases to staffing due to the growing number of Arizona citizens needing pandemic unemployment assistance. The DES project team has joined us today to request approval to increase the project's cost to cover unexpected equipment expansion. At this time, I will turn this over to the project team to present additional information regarding this change request and answer any questions you may have.
Okay, Sudhi, thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, again, I'm here to present the change order to this particular pitch. Sudhi, next slide, please. As stated, this is our project overview. We are continuing our refresh for this fiscal year. We are also including new devices to handle the existing hiring rate that DES is under to meet requirements for the state of Arizona citizens for the services that we offer. As with all refreshes, we are refreshing equipment that is on a 4 to 7 year end of life. And we are continuing on a 4 year replacement cycle. Any equipment that we do surplus or any equipment that we do deem necessary to be surplus will be going to state surplus as accordance to our DES standards. The original pitch included requested funds for forecasted growth and expansion due to COVID-19 needs, again, to assist the citizens during this time of crisis. Next slide, please. We have seen continued growth and expansion of services that are being requested from DES due to the COVID-19 pandemic. As a result, DES continues to expand staff, and we are also continuing to expand our capability of sending staff home for virtual office to serve those requests from our citizens. We are asking in this change order for an additional equipment need totaling $1.1 million and increasing the contingency allotment to $1 million from the $500,000 that was in the original pitch. This will help us to take care of any unforeseen growth and any governmental changes that come down from federal government between now and the end of the fiscal year. So the total change request for this particular change action is $1,690,606. Next slide, Sudhi. So the original pitch that was presented just a few months ago was for the $2.2 million with a forecasted growth of $500,000, our contingency, for a total developmental cost of $2,774,000. Again, our change request totals $1.19 million, and with an additional $500,000, we're asking for a change respective to $1.69 million to meet the current demands of DES. That will bring our total pitch, both for the previous and this change order, to $4.46 million. Next slide, please. This is a general breakdown of what we're purchasing for the current request that we have and the new demand that we expect. So the original quantity we were looking at for laptops and desktops was 300 and 1200 respectively. And of course, the monitors, we're doing a dual monitor deployment for each of those devices. So the totals are there respectively as well. The request for change is encompassing laptops and desktops, which is totaling 750, which brings us to 1,450 total devices we're requesting in this change. Next slide, please. So this will be the new combined PIDGE equipment total. Laptops and desktops will be 2,250, with approximately 3,700 monitors and accessories, which would include power strips, docks, and supporting equipment necessary for the business. Next slide, please. Again, just to reiterate, this change is asking for a total of $1.69 million as part of our existing PIDGE. Next slide. May I answer any questions?
Okay, we'll open it up to the committee for any questions that you may have. Okay, if there aren't any questions, Sudhi, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, assets recommending that the change request be approved with the standard conditions. Condition one, should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology, scope of work, or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the pitch to reflect the changes and submit to ADOI Asset and ITAC, if required, for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds. Condition two, monthly reporting on the project status is due to ADOI Asset no later than the 15th of the month following the start of the project. Failure to comply with timely project status reporting will affect the overall project health.
Okay, any questions from the committee on the standard conditions?
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the project change with the recommended conditions.
Okay, thank you, David. Mr. Fleetham, I saw you raised your hand.
Yes, I had a question. I just wanted to make understand this. So the total PIDGE development cost being proposed or requested is $4.464765 million, right? $4,464,000. That's the request.
The new total.
And that DES would come back if that if the cost exceeded that by 10%, so another $4.46 million on top of that. If it was more than that, then they would come back. Is that right?
So the Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, you have the new total correct. So if they need to exceed that by 10% more than that total, right? So 400,000 and change, I'm not gonna be able to do the math on the fly, but then yes, they would come back for another change request before the committee.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, we have a motion from Mr. Byers to approve. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chair. I'll second.
Okay, we have a dual second. I'm going to award the tie to Eddie. Yeah. all right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Mark and Alan. Wish you well with deploying that number of devices.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members. We appreciate your time.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you for the time today. And a special thank you for Sudhi and her team in helping us get through this unprecedented time. We've been before you several times over the past year, and we appreciate all the assistance. So thank you.
Definitely. And I think for those of you that if you're playing you know, meeting bingo, we have used the word unprecedented. That has to be used at least once in every meeting while the pandemic continues. So we have checked that box. Thank you, Alan.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day. Thank you.
All right. Our next item up on the agenda will be members from ADOI Asset coming forward with a PIDGE information item related to agency platform. So I'll turn it over to Shayna.
Hi there. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Shayna Schaller, and I am the Engagement Manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. I'm joined today by members of Arizona Department of Administration's Digital Governance team. I will give a brief overview of this informational item, then turn it over to the team to introduce themselves and provide a brief presentation. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Department of Administration currently hosts and maintains over 185 websites for 88 state agencies on a Drupal 7 platform. On January 13, 2021, the Department of Administration received approval by ADOA Asset to build a minimum viable product to test the validity of migrating the existing agency's platform to a modern platform utilizing Drupal 9. The purpose of this informational-only item is to inform the committee of the pilot project and future initiatives relating to the full migration, which will require ITAC review and approval at a later date. I will turn this over to the team to introduce themselves and present the information regarding the initiative.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Vincent Salgado. I am here on behalf of the digital government team over at Asset, and I'm here to talk to you about the upgrade initiative we have for the agency platform. If we can go to the next slide. So to give you a little bit of a background on this project, the platform is a turnkey solution for website development and hosting at scale. So as a whole, we have the ability to deliver a streamlined, secure, and well-developed website at a low cost for state agencies. As mentioned before, we maintain over 185 websites for 80 different state agencies. So the current problems that we are having with our platform is that today the platform will reach its end of life in November of 2022. We lack the flexibility, modern design, and usability that people would come to expect for websites today. The current platform also contains a lot of unused features and software code that needs to be maintained at our own expense. We also lack the consistency and collaboration for cross-vendor support as we continue to build out a new website. So the benefits that we want to get from this new upgrade that we are doing is that we want to deliver a better user experience for site visitors, content creators, and administrators. So we want to provide that up-to-date technologies for everybody to take leverage of. Of course, we want to have that modern design so all of the state agency websites will look new, fresh, and people would, you know, that's something that's visually appealing for everybody. And of course, we want to make better documentation for our current content creators, our vendors, and our site builders. So we are trying to streamline that whole workflow from beginning to end for maintenance and support. And then, of course, we're always going to be improving upon our accessibility for our constituents around the state. If we go to the next slide. Here we're taking a look at the roadmap for this initiative. We have broken up this initiative into various projects. Currently, we are working on our minimal viable product. So this is going to be the foundation for our agency platform. By the end of this, we will have something that we can actually give out to the state agencies to play around with and also build out their new websites with a more sleek and modern design for this. So for this project itself, we are actually approaching this with an agile approach. We are meeting with our vendor after every sprint to have a retrospective to take a look at where we're at with everything. Why we are doing this is because that we want to have the ability to kind of make sure that we are on the right path. And if need be, we have the ability to kind of pull out and maybe just pivot to find a better solution for where we're going. So right now, we're trying to test the validity of this project as a whole. Once this is done and we feel like this is going to be the right path for this initiative, we're going to be going back to our vendors and kind of going through our budgets for our future projects that we want to do. So if those projects reach over $1 million, we want to come back to ITAC to let them know what's going on and how we've come to this and to make sure that we can get this project not only enhanced after the MVP is done, but also get all the old state legacy websites over into our new platform. Next slide. I just wanted to know if there are any questions.
Okay. Any questions from the committee for Vincent on the project as proposed? Again, this is informational only, so we will not be voting on this, but this is a good time to ask questions if you have them.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dave. Vincent, I'm not familiar with this particular product. Is it used, is it a widespread web development host product already?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, yes. So this project today, where we currently stand is that this is used widespread for all of our public-facing websites and also our some internal websites as well, internet websites. So not every single state agency has to use our product, but it is something that they have the option to, and then we offer support, hosting, and maintenance for that as well.
So I understand this new product that you're going to move to. You're going to migrate to a new web hosting platform. Is that right?
The hosting environment will stay the same. However, it's going to be the content management system of which it is built on is actually being it's being upgraded to the latest version. We are currently on the Drupal 7 version. So then that is going to be end of life come 2022. So we have to...
You're going to Drupal. Okay. So then why do you have questions that it's going to potentially not be viable? I'm not sure that first step. Why are you doing that? You have some doubts that you've got to test out whether it's going to be viable for the agencies to move to the newest version?
No, we don't have any doubts, but we do want to be able to take a look at, make sure things are going in the platform itself, that we're building it in the correct way. And also getting feedback from not only other vendors who are going to be working with this product, but also the different state agencies. We have about 200 different websites, so it is a large undertaking. We want to make sure that we are at least building this the foundation of it correctly. So we want to have the option to pivot and not necessarily go away entirely from the Drupal platform itself, but be able to pivot to make sure that we are going the correct way and make sure that our vendor is the correct person.
Okay. And then for the agencies that you're hosting, are they able just to migrate their current content to the new version, or do they have to build new websites, new content?
So it's going to be a kind of a combination of both. With this new version of Drupal, it is kind of a whole entire paradigm shift from how they would used to do things in 7 to how they're doing things today. So there is going to be a lot of not only migrating just the content itself, but also have to rebuild the parts of the website. So it is going to be a big undertaking as far as getting everybody over from that old version to the new version.
And do they know that?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
We've been informing and speaking with our users to let them know that this is coming up, and they're very aware of the situation and eager to kind of move on to this new version.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair, I have a question, and it might be directed more to you than to Vincent. Looking at the timeline, this will come back to the committee at some point in the next year for approval when there are costs. We're in the midst of budget negotiation at the legislature. So are you anticipating needing additional funding, or is there a mechanism in place for when you do get to that point?
So I think, Justin, are you on with us?
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that. We will be submitting a budget issue, but that will not be until fiscal year 23, when we have a much better understanding of what the migration costs are likely to be.
Thank you.
There we go. And then, Lev, thank you for the information that you shared in chat. I think that's helpful for context. I think if you were to go out and look at, again, for the CMSs that are known, probably WordPress is far and away, has more of the market share. Maybe Justin, Vincent, I know you guys have, over time you've looked at some of the various options that are in the market. Can you maybe just briefly, for the edification of the group, comment on, sort of why Drupal, what you've looked at, are there capabilities that are driving the recommendation that you have?
Yeah, so there are different options out there besides just Drupal, but Drupal is it's used by Fortune 500 companies as well as different government agencies, and it's another option to Drupal would be something like WordPress. I'm sure some of you are familiar, kind of heard that term as well. However, what we found within Drupal over the past since we started building the agency platform, not just for this new upgrade initiative, but what we've have experience in our current platform is that Drupal itself is open source. So for those of you who aren't familiar with that, is that it is something that is kind of free for you to kind of build upon. And with that also comes a very large community of people who continue to enhance this project and different features of it as well. And we're able to kind of use that as our exposure. Everybody's kind of gone in and built in a really tight-knit community where people are able to kind of communicate with each other, always willing to help out. And we've experienced that along the way as we've run into issues. People have been willing to reach out to kind of help us out to understand this project and everything. So, but it is a very well-built and robust development tool, more so than other projects that are out there or other CMSs that are out there. Other CMSs are more kind of front-end, and they kind of lack that ability to really build upon what is there for developers. So this is kind of the route that we chose to go.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee before we let Vincent go here? Okay. Thank you very much, Vincent. Appreciate your time and the commentary.
Yes, thank you.
All right, next item up is an informational update from the Department of Education. I think, Shane, it's you again, right? Sorry.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Shana Schaller, and I am an engagement manager with Department of Administration. I'm joined today by members of Department of Education. The team will introduce themselves and provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of their school finance payment system replacement project.
Thank you, Shana. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Satish Patisapu. I'm the Chief Information Officer at Arizona Department of Education. I'm joined by my team members who will chime in if there is any question that is related to their area that they're covering in this project. Next slide, please. As you can see, the overall project health is green. Quickly touch upon a couple of items in this slide, and more detailed information is provided in the next the following slides. If you notice, the budget has been it looks a little different compared to the previous one. Reason being, we, as you may already know, that we have concluded our we have divided the first phase into two parts, and the first phase is part one of the first phase is completed, and we are calling out how the budget went in that part and the projections for the remainder of the part, which concludes on end of this fiscal year. As such, we currently have only one risk, which is pretty much same as the last one, and luckily we don't have any issues. I tried to use unprecedented somewhere, Mr. Chairman, but I couldn't fit it in. So I'll see if I can do it in the next slide. Next slide, please. As you can see, we have divided this slide of project updates into multiple sections. Usually, previously it was three, but now we added recently we added the user acceptance testing portion as well. So quickly going on, we currently have several documents that are up for review by the Documentation Review Committee. And from a milestones point of view and approvals, we have the phase one, part one milestones have all been completed. I informed about it last time, but it was not in the slide deck because by the time we got all the milestone approvals, the slide deck has already been published. So then the next one, APOR development, which is the second portion of the of phase one that is underway, and quite a bit of milestones are in flight, and some have already been demoed and moved into a release for user acceptance testing. Like overall, the progress is pretty satisfactory. We are moving forward at a very good pace. From meetings and communication point of view, the documents that are have been released for have been released for the document review committee to review last Friday, and the meeting is going to be conducted on 26th of March of March 2021. I'm not going to go through every line in that user acceptance testing. What we are trying to provide here as an update is that, you know, there is a significant amount of work that is happening from the school finance business unit, and they have been very actively participating in planning creation of test cases, criteria, and working on the user acceptance testing of the portion that has recently been released into the UAT environment. Next slide, please. Question and answers.
Satish, just a quick question on your last slide. When you talk about 53 test cases completed against, and then the next line shows 153 total across maybe the product so far. Is there a relationship between those two, in that you're like 53 of 153 have been completed, so about a third of the way through, or am I matching those up incorrectly?
Definitely there is a relationship, but I can't really draw the direct relationship exactly okay. like that.
All right.
Because there will be more that, yeah.
Okay. Any questions from the committee on this update?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is Dave again. Will the receipt of all of the new American Rescue Plan funding for the department affect this project? There's a whole bunch of money you're getting, hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, maybe that money has to go out before this will even be done, but I didn't know if you, all of a sudden here's this new category of funding, if this project has to be modified to be able to distribute and manage that new money. And maybe you wouldn't know that. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, if it is a additional payment stream, then it can be easily incorporated into the current model of development that we are approaching the project with. But to be honest, I don't know how it is going to impact the way we are, our current streams are working. If you allow me, I would like to just ask anybody from Department of Education who are on the call to chime in if they have any additional information that they can provide.
Satish, this is Brito.
Please go ahead, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Brito Augustine, CTO for Arizona Department of Education. Most of the federal funding dollars, and those are all funded through grants or some other mechanism, which does not go through this payment system. This is strictly for state aid funding that are directly affecting the charter and school district payments and other type of payments. We do have a federal funding that's the pandemic EBT cards, which we are working directly with DES on providing that data, but we are not processing those through the system at all. But like Satish said, if there are additional payment streams that do come that fits into the system is capable of, we can uplift it and make some configuration changes and process any other future payments that are directed from the state.
Okay, that sounds good. I guess what I would ask out of this would be maybe Satish, given that the recovery plan is still relatively fresh. I know a lot of folks are still understanding what it means. Perhaps by next month, as part of your informational update, if you're able to assess any impacts, to the system and when those might arise. Mr. Byers, anything else you'd like to include with that?
No, it's fine.
Perfect.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or commentary for Satish on this? All right. Thank you, Satish. Thanks, Breno, for chiming in as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, with the committee. Thank you.
Okay. Next item up, informational update for Department of Child Safety. I believe this one's going to go to Chuck.
Afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Just for the record, Chuck Brown, Director of Engagement Management, Strategic Oversight and Asset. This item is scheduled for a written update. You've had the deck provided for you. The agency is not scheduled this month for a verbal update. They are scheduled to come back to the committee in April and provide you with the written and verbal update at that time. We've asked them to focus in on updating us on their progress with overcoming some of their challenges around reporting, as well as updating us on how their transfer to M&O has gone in the project. I would ask if the committee has anything else you'd like us to have the agency focus on, let me know. And we will let them know.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I know that payments to foster families has been in the news twice, and it didn't get a clear picture in their update on where they are in fixing that. I don't know if it's a bug or just a another IT term for the problem. But I would like to know where they are at that. Have they sent out the payments that were past due? Are they set to get payments out on time moving forward? And I'm sure Mr. Byers might also have a question that was on the Foster Care Review Board ability to access the data.
Now this is Mr. Byers. That's right. In addition, I know the state ombudsman has raised a similar concern. The state ombudsman works for the legislature. A lot of their cases emanate out of constituent issues with DCS. They also don't have access. And unfortunately, both these groups, the review board and the ombudsman, play an oversight role with DCS cases. So I'd like to get an update on that because neither group has access at this point.
Very good. We will add those to the items for update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Any other requests from the committee? Okay, that concludes this agenda item, Mr. Chairman. It's a non-voting item.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Chuck. And thank you, Rebecca and David, for your input on that as well. Okay, last item we have on our agenda is the Department of Administration providing an informational update on the Inventory Management Initiative. Shana.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, again, my name is Shana Schaller, and I am an engagement manager with Arizona Department of Administration. I am joined today by members of the Arizona Department of Administration's Enterprise Security Team. The team will introduce themselves, but then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of the Inventory Management Initiative, also known as TMIM. Next slide.
Gary, did you want to kick us off?
Oh, certainly. Hi, I'm Gary Hensley, Chief Operating Officer for ADOA Asset. I'm one of the executive sponsors from an operational standpoint, and I'll turn it over to Tim.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tim Romer. I'm the Chief Information Security Officer for the state of Arizona.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Jennifer Pittman-Leeper, and I have served as the Enterprise Security Program Advisory Council Administrator. Shana, would you like for us to go ahead and get started with the deck?
Yes, please.
Awesome. Mr. Chairman, members, we actually requested to come back and talk to you to give you a little bit of insight as to what we've done since this project was approved back in November of 2020. As you may recall, the Tanium product was purchased as a hardware and software asset management system. The point was to give us visibility into all of the enterprise assets to help us identify both assets as well as risks. We also needed a way to manage with more of our workforce working remotely than ever before. We needed a way to manage those devices, both with patching, remediation, upgrading, deployment of new software that we need to get out to those users. Back in November, we requested and were approved $3.146 million. To date, we've spent every penny down to the penny that we were approved for. I want to keep Rebecca on my good side, so I did not go over, not even by a cent. I wanted to give you guys just a couple of metrics that we told you all we would work toward. We asked that we would get 95% of our Tanium agents deployed by the end of May. We're on track with over 55% deployed and more being onboarded every single day. We told you that we would create an oversight committee and that we would have participation from at least 5 different agencies. We have closer to 10 agencies now that are participating, and we have already held 4 meetings, and they are making decisions about the product since it is an enterprise tool. We told you that we would authenticate all end users using Okta. That has been completed. We also indicated that any agencies that wanted to integrate their Active Directory would be. To date, no agencies have asked for it, but we are beginning to provide more information to agencies, and we hope that some agencies would take advantage of that soon. Next slide. The reason I wanted to share this with you all today was I wanted to show you the actual capabilities that we have been able to do using Tanium at ADOA and for our managed agencies. This graph that you're looking at will show you some high points of missing patches and their severity. So you can see during the January patch Tuesday, it was quite high. And again, then in February, you see those high points. All of a sudden on the right, you see a dramatic drop off. On Thursday afternoon at 6 o'clock in the evening, we began patching using Tanium. And that cliff that you see represented is a 72-hour window that we're demonstrating what we were able to do by using Tanium. Next slide. So in a mere 72 hours, we were able to remediate an average of 444 vulnerabilities per device. On one single device, we were actually able to remediate more than 3,000 vulnerabilities. That means that we were averaging 12,000 remediations per hour. As a matter of fact, we had one single hour where we peaked at over 55,000 vulnerabilities remediated in a single hour using Tanium. Those vulnerabilities had an average open day of 53 days. One of them had been opened for 253 days. So in that 72-hour span of time, we were able to close 392,000 vulnerabilities with no impact to the bandwidth for the network and no impact to the end users other than eventually they had to reboot their computer. Next slide. What this slide is demonstrating on the right-hand side, you'll see the red line. That's the number of vulnerabilities that are identified. And in 2 different batches, the first big major hump, that's when we attacked the Microsoft patches and looked at OS operating system vulnerabilities that were there and we began patching. We saw so much improvement that we went ahead and began some third-party patching at that second hump to begin remediation of multiple vulnerabilities that were in our environment. As a result, we had more than 500,000 vulnerabilities at the time that this slide was done, and that number has since grown to 892,000 vulnerabilities that we were able to remediate since we launched this in late February. Next slide. This is showing the risk sense score. Nothing that we ever do from a security perspective, we trust, but we verify. So we always want to look at multiple different tools to confirm that the other tools also are seeing the same changes. So the graph on your left-hand side shows our risk sense score on Thursday the 18th was a 733 at ADOA. 1 week later, we had raised that almost 20 points, and it was up to a 752. So we were able to confirm using other sources that we did remediate those vulnerabilities out of our environment. Next slide. So the reason I came to you today is I wanted to ensure you that you made a good investment. As we have started using Tanium to do more things with it, other agencies are following in suit, and we're seeing more and more of them begin to see the full potential of this product. So we came in on time and on budget, and we're getting a lot of value out of it. Basically, we just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for trusting us to do this. And I'm sure we'll be coming back to talk to you about some more successes soon. Are there any questions?
Okay, we'll open up to the committee for any questions or comments that you have. Okay. All right, thank you, Jennifer. And thanks to all the folks across the agencies that have been part of this project and helping to achieve this success. With that brings us to the end of our agenda for today. And our next meeting is scheduled for April 21st. We look forward to that. If there aren't any final items from any of the members, I will call our meeting to a close. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, team, we can go ahead and turn off the recording now.